Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 to 16, the sign of Ezekiel's baggage. Never thought God could use baggage. The futility of escaping God's judgment. People who are very rebellious toward God generally disrespect the Lord, believing they can avoid or escape having to be accountable to Him in some way or to some degree. Of course, that's an utterly foolish and futile idea. We're dealing with an almighty God. To clarify the great need for sinners to repent and confess their sin to avoid God's certain judgment, God had Ezekiel act out the sign of his baggage. In Ezekiel chapter 12, 1 to 16. We view this event for insight and application. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 12, 1 to 16. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. Thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. And maybe they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing. And thou shalt go forth even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight thou shalt bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the earth. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so, as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, stuff for captivity. And in the evening I digged through the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so it shall be done to them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My dad also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him into Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw up the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. And I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them with a sword from the famine, from the disease, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles, whither they come. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Okay. Very enigmatic practice here. Ezekiel's sign was prophetically acted out in full view of his fellow Hebrew exiles in Babylon. When God prepared to direct Ezekiel to act out an instructional sign, he prefaced the directive by asserting that Ezekiel dwelt among a rebellious people who had eyes to see but did not spiritually perceive, and ears to hear but did not spiritually understand, due to their rebelliousness toward the Lord. Accordingly, God told Ezekiel, essentially, to pack a rucksack. That's what Dr. Ryrie says in his footnote. Pack a rucksack with bare necessities. In the old days, it was you would take a pole over your back, and there would be a yellow handkerchief, and you'd pack all your goods in it, and you tie it on the pole, and then you're leaving home. Put it on your shoulder and away you go. See, the parents would kind of smile, knowing that as soon as supper time came, you'd be back, because you'd be hungry. But anyway, that's what they did. Put a rucksack with bare necessities, typical of what an exile would pack to take to a foreign country. He was to leave his house with his baggage during the day in full view of fellow Hebrews, that they might see that he was acting like an exile, intending to cause them to wonder what he was trying to teach. Ezekiel was to repeat this effort at dusk, acting as if he were escaping by crawling through a hole in the wall and avoiding detection by his enemies. While making this exodus at dusk, Ezekiel was to cover his face so that he might not see the land. This was designed to get his Hebrew onlookers to ask what in the world Ezekiel was trying to teach. There's nothing like actions. You go into any culture in the world, especially the Mideast, but any culture in the world, and you do something that is unusual, and it always gets people. I heard one time of a man who decided to, he was down in New York City, near Times Square, and he stopped and he just looked up into the sky, looked and looked. After a while, he had a whole crowd of people looking up in the sky just to do it, and after a while, he enjoyed it, and then he put his head down and just walked away, and everybody's looking at what was See? But it was interesting. He caught the attention of people, and that's what this man is doing. He's catching their attention. So Ezekiel did as the Lord commanded, bringing forth his baggage by day and then doing so again at night, and digging through the wall to carry his baggage out through it, his face covered so as not to see the land. The next morning the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, noting that his spiritually rebellious Hebrew countrymen had asked him what he was doing, what he was seeking to teach through this sign. Well, accordingly, in hope that his Hebrew onlookers would hearken to him, God had Ezekiel explain to his audience that he was a sign for them, that what he had acted out before them would occur to the prince in Jerusalem, that would be King Zedekiah, and all the house of Israel who were still in Jerusalem. Ezekiel was thus a sign to his onlookers about what would be done unto their nation back in the land of Judah. Well, the prince of Jerusalem, King Zedekiah, remember, he's not really the rightful king. The rightful king was Jeconiah, his nephew. But the Babylonians had made him a puppet king. He is actually a prince because he was not the crown prince. He was the uncle of Jeconiah. So the Lord refers to him not as the king, but as prince, which he really was. He was really just the prince, but the Babylonians had put him in there. So the prince of Jerusalem, King Zedekiah, not the rightful king like Jeconiah was, but his uncle, and hence just a prince in God's view, he would lift his rucksack with bare necessities on his shoulder at dusk and go out of the city, obviously seeking to go undetected from his Babylonian enemies. His helpers would dig through the wall to bring Zedekiah out through it, and Zedekiah would cover his face to disguise himself so that he would not be able to see the countryside with his eyes. So they thought that if we go out and we're just a band of people, the Babylonians might think, oh, it's just a bunch of guys, let them go. But then they would think, well, we still got Zedekiah in here. But the Babylonians, as it turned out, they found out that Zedekiah was amongst the group that was going out. Now, how they found out, we don't know. But they probably had pretty good reconnaissance. Anyway, and they also had horses, and they could run real, they could gallop real fast. Nevertheless, God would figuratively spread his net over Zedekiah and captured him, which shows us that God was behind the Babylonians, leading them to capture him, and bring him to Babylon, though he would not see the city. And there he would die. Notice the prophecy. Zedekiah's rebellious effort against God to try to escape his discipline at the hand of the Babylonians by covering his face to disguise himself at dusk as he tried to escape the city would be augmented in God's judgment. It's kind of like God saying, oh, you're covering your face so you can't see. Okay, we will make it so you can never see in judgment. God would judge Zedekiah not to be able to see Babylon when he ended up there as a prisoner in punishment for trying to escape God's judgment by covering his face so as not to see the land in his escape. Earlier when I had studied about how Zedekiah had lost his eyesight, and I knew that was an extremely cruel thing, and I was wondering, why in the world did God let that happen? But I never had an answer for it until I was studying this passage this week. He had covered his face so as to disguise himself, to try to escape the punishment that God predicted that what he would get if he tried to escape. So he's acting in rebellion against the Lord. So the Lord says, all right, you're going to cover your face so you can't see. I'm going to make it so you will never see. And then you will realize that I am God and I'm judging you. So all of the king's supporters would be scattered from him. God would draw out a sword to pursue them and send famine and disease to slay many of them. They with Zedekiah would learn that God was the sovereign Lord and that they could not escape his judgment by means of the Babylonians. So a few of them, nevertheless, would escape alive to tell of their idolatrous sins among the nations where they would go, and they would realize that God was the sovereign Lord. Those few men who escaped would realize God was judging us, and he was judging us because of our idolatry. We blew it, and they would confess that to other people. Now, Ezekiel's prophetic sign was fulfilled when Zedekiah and his men tried to escape Jerusalem. We've covered this already, but the Babylonians captured him near Jericho, his supporters scattered, and the Babylonians put out Zedekiah's eyes so that he never saw Babylon when he was taken and imprisoned there, only eventually to die there. It's interesting, one of the passages in Scripture predicted that he would see the king of Babylon, but he would never see Babylon. That's true. He was taken captive up to the king of Babylon, up north above Damascus. He saw the king there. The king slew his sons in front of him, and then the king put his eyes on him. So he never did see Babylon. He saw the king of Babylon, but he didn't see Babylon. And there he eventually died. Jeremiah 52, 1-11 tells us of this fulfillment of prophecy. So, Ezekiel gave the sign of the baggage to teach that God's judgment was unavoidable, that men must repent. Very simple, but very profound lesson. May we revere the Lord so as to repent of our sin, for otherwise, God's punishment is unavoidable. You can't run from God. You can't. There's nowhere where you can go from God. He's omnipresent. He's also omniscient. He knows our minds. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what type of plan we're going to come up. He knew everything that was going on in Zedekiah's mind as he was trying to make this escape. In fact, he knew it ahead of time because this is a prophecy of what he'd be thinking, what he'd be doing. And God had him all mapped out. He had him cornered. So he blew it. And now we know why he was blinded. He was blinded because God arranged for that to occur as judgment, because he had tried to hide his face from the Babylonians so that they wouldn't capture him, in defiance of the fact that God said that he would be captured and things would not go well with him if he tried to escape. He was supposed to go out and surrender himself to the Babylonians. If he'd surrendered himself, Jeremiah had told him repeatedly, everything will be fine and you won't be mistreated even by the captives in the exiles that are in Babylon. But he didn't do that. He chose the other route, so he ended up blind in Babylon and in prison. And he died there. Tremendous lesson. We can't run from God, so you might as well get right with him.